Ephesians chapter number 6. Thank God for wives. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 6, and we'll begin our reading this morning. Let's start in verse 10. I'm really going to dwell this morning in verse 12, but let's start in verse 10, because I think these are important verses. And Paul, he's been writing to the church at Ephesus. Ephesians, one of my favorite books of the Bible. I love Philippians. I love Ephesians. Ephesians, through the first five chapters, Paul exhorts living the Christian life, joy and love and happiness. Then he comes to chapter 6 and he pivots and he paints the Christian life as a warfare. And it's from Ephesians 6 where we get that great armor of God. And he paints the Christian life as a warfare. Look what he said, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Strong in the Lord. And in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 12 is what I'm interested in. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Let's pray together. Father, as we bow in your presence this morning, Lord, you laid these verses on our heart earlier this week, and for a purpose. I pray, Lord, this morning that you'd help us to preach. God, just help us, Lord, to be able to get out of our heart, Lord, what you've laid on it. God, would you help some people? Lord, folks have come this morning to church for help. They want to hear from heaven. They want to hear the word of God. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to preach the word and help your saints today. We'll thank you and praise you for all that's accomplished in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I was thinking as I was studying on these verses this week, I run into a lot of people. This may surprise you, but I talk to a lot of people. And I know y'all think I'm an introvert. I don't talk to many people. But believe it or not, I do talk to a few people during the week. And it comes natural to me, and I'll say, how you doing? I got thinking on this week. Let me tell you the answer I hear to that question, mostly. Worn out. That's what people say. I'm worn out. I was thinking about that this week. Everybody you meet, worn out. They say, boy, I'm just wore out, running here and there and doing this and that. And you know, our grandparents and great-grandparents' generations would get up, plow with a mule, and work the farm, and I mean without the farm equipment or the implements that we have today. They'd work the farm, read their Bibles, and yet they weren't worn out. Here you and I are riding around in automobiles, working in office spaces. Got it made in a lot of ways, but how many of you would agree with me this morning? You feel wore out. It's like there is a oppression, a battle. It's like there is a constant turmoil. And I began to think about that and the conflict of a Christian and how that we wrestle in these perilous times against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, the analogy that Paul uses, if you'll recall, I believe it was last Sunday, I preached on that thought of press on, and I told you that was a sport analogy, and it was talking, Paul was talking about the Grecian foot race and how that in the race, you had to stay in the race, keep putting one foot in front of the other. Well, it's interesting here. Paul takes another sports analogy. He said, we're in a wrestling match. I don't know if you've ever seen many wrestling matches. I growed up, somebody give me a witness right here. My favorite sport was wrestling. Amen. I started an internet war a few years ago when I said that Ric Flair was the greatest athlete ever to live. Come on, forget Michael Jordan, Ric Flair, 11-time heavyweight champion of the world, friend. I mean WWE, Nature Boy. Woo, Ric Flair, amen. And I grew up watching wrestling. You know what wrestling is all about? Well, it's all about fake, but other than that, wrestling is all about control. Every wrestling move, you go to a high school wrestling match, every wrestling move is meant to control the subject that you're wrestling against. Here Paul said that the Christian is in a wrestling match. You know why you're tired? You know why you're wore out at the end of the day? Because whether you realize it or not, if you're saved by the grace of God, you've been in a wrestling match all day long. You see, the world is headed in one direction, and the church and the saved are headed upstream in the opposite direction. And so there is this constant conflict, there is this constant warfare, and there's this constant wrestling, and it wears us down and indeed wears us out. As I was thinking about this conflict, I was thinking about this wrestling match, and I believe that the Lord would help us to help you today if you'll listen. Now let me say this to you. Our battles are both supernatural. Paul said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now it's easy in these days, with all this political turmoil that's going on in our country, it's easy for us to get on a side and pick somebody on the other side and say, Rachunder is our enemy. And that's who we're fighting against. That's who we're battling against. But I'm going to tell you tonight, this morning, church, our battle's not with flesh and blood. You see, there's a higher realm to this thing. The battle is a spiritual battle. The warfare is a spiritual warfare. And so it's supernatural and it is substantial. And the emphasis here is Paul is saying the devil has a desire to control you. He wants to put you in the arm lock. He wants you to get you in the full Nelson. He wants to get you in the leg lock, amen, and get you down and hold you. He has a desire to control you. That is his desire. Now listen to this. More times than not, it's not what the world does to us that is the problem. But what we allow the world to influence us to do. Now, I got a hold of this in my study yesterday as I studied on this. If you get a hold of it, it'll help you. We'll look at all the world's doing right now. And all of the turmoil and all of the problems of this world. And we'll look at that and we'll say, look at what all the world's doing to us. But really, I asked yesterday, Todd McKinn, he sent me a message and he was complaining about this, that, and the other. And I said, let me ask you something. I said, and I'm not trying to throw off on Todd because Todd's a better preacher than I am and I've sent him messages complaining too. But I said, let me ask you something. And this is what I was thinking about. I said, if you didn't have any access to any kind of news media, would you even know any of that was going on? You think about that. If you didn't have TV and internet and Facebook newspapers, and you just living your life, would you even know any of that mess in Washington, D.C. was going on right now? And yet it upsets you to the point you can't sleep at night. Oh, I'd get ready to do some preaching. You see, it's not what they're doing to us, but how they're controlling us with what they do. And guess who has to allow that? You do. You're guilty of allowing that to happen in your life. And so it's not so much of what the world does to us as much as it is what we allow what they are able to influence us to do to ourselves. Let me say this to you this morning. I believe that the majority of wounds in the church are self-inflicted. I believe we cause ourselves to do a lot of things that we don't have to do. And we allow these pressures and these stresses to come in our life. And so Paul said, it's like a wrestling match. The world is doing this. And can I say this to you today? The world has always been evil. There's nothing new under the sun. I'm going to tell you, you say, boy, look what happened this week up in Washington. Let me tell you something. This world has done evil things in the past. There have been evil dictators before. There have been evil governments before. There have been insurrection before. There's been problems before. And just because it's happening in our lifetime, we seem all this tore out of our frame about it. I'm going to tell you something. This world system is of the devil. Somebody said, man, the devil's been running it for a long time. And he knows exactly what he's doing. Amen. And it's up to me and you to decide how much influence we're going to allow that to have over us. We can get in it if we want to. We can engross ourselves in it and let it drag us down and let it cause division and let it cause heartache. Or we can say, no, sir, we're going to fight and battle better than that. We're going to wrestle better. We're not going to allow the devil to get us in the harm lock and have us holler, uncle. No, sir, we're going to stay with the stuff and keep our... Hey, can I tell you, this verse is still in the Bible. He's able to keep them in perfect peace whose mind just stayed on him. I believe we'd all be better. Give me an amen or two right here. I believe we'd all be better if we'd put our mind on Jesus and get our mind out of Washington. Amen. If we'd look toward heaven instead of looking toward Facebook. Somebody say amen. I believe we'd all be better off if we'd put our mind on the Lord. Let me give you a few things. Right, there's three things I want to deal with that the devil uses. He uses our own emotions against us. Now, I want you to think about this. He causes you to feel a certain way. He allows you to see certain things, causes you to feel a certain way. And whether you realize or not, you're in this battle, you're in this wrestling match, and he's getting you in the arm lock. Now, notice this. Number one, worry. Worry. Now, worry is something that the devil uses to get control over people. You see, worry is a first cousin to fear. And fear, has been said by psychologists, is the most powerful of all motivators. And I'll guarantee you that's right. A few weeks ago on Sunday morning, you know how sometimes that sound system does something crazy and it goes, you know, and it's unnerving. It's an unnerving sound. And a few Sundays ago, maybe three Sundays ago, I'd come early to preach the radio broadcast, got here about 7:30, and I walked in the back door, and just as soon as I walked in the back door, that the sound system did that. I'm the only person here, and it goes, brrr, you know, I mean, it's shaking the ground. I'm telling you, I pulled a gun. I did a dance. Man, had to clean up a spot on the floor. I mean, hey. It got me all messed up. And I mean, I did things, talked in tongues, pointed a gun, ordered people to get on their face. I did it all. You know what that was? That was fear. I mean, fear for just a second gripped me. And for just an instant paralyzed me. I mean, I was scared. Fear. Fear will make you do things you never dreamed you'd ever do. Amen. Make you act in ways you never dreamed you'd ever act. Well, worry is a first cousin to fear. And one thing I'm noticing in these days, and I don't know much about the heathens. I don't spend no time around them. I spend a lot of time around God's people. And I'm telling you what I'm seeing out of God's people. That's what I'm preaching about this morning. Hey, what I see out of God's people. I'm seeing a lot of worry. I'm worried, preacher. Now, I want you to think about this. Worry exists in one of three realms. Come on, think with me. There are worries about the past. Now, that's got to be the most foolish of all worries, worrying about the past. But there are people who worry over past failures. They allow their past to haunt them, and they worry about things that happened days, months, years ago. They worry about sins and failures and problems. I know people that literally can't go forward in their life because of something that happened in their past life. Now, if you're here this morning and you're without sin, I would ask you if you would kindly go outside until the service is over, because we're going to corrupt you before the day's out. You see, everybody in here is messed up in the past. Now, I preached on this last week. Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind. 1 John 1:9 said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is the cure for worrying about your past. There's some of you this morning that are haunted with worries about what happened years ago. You can't change it. You can't go back and undo it. You need to just give it to Jesus. Say, I wish I hadn't done that, but it's under the blood, and I don't have to think about it no more, and I'm going to go forward and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's some people that are haunted with worries from the past. But then there's a lot of people that are haunted with the anxieties of the present. You see, worry lives in the past, present, and future. There's some people that are haunted by the anxiety of the present. Now, being haunted by anxieties or worried with anxieties of the present, we would call that stress. Stress. Oh, preacher, I'm stressed to the gills. I just got so much stress on me. How many of you this week, I'm not asking you to raise your hand, I just want you to think. How many of you this week would that have described where you were at? I am stressed to the gills. Have you ever thought about that if you eliminate worry, and I mean, God been helping me with this. If you'll eliminate worry out of your life, it'll cure most of your stress. Because most of the stress that comes in our life has to do with worrying about our present circumstance. We worry we're not going to get the job done. We worry that something bad's going to happen. The boss ain't going to be happy. We worry that this is going to happen or that's going to happen. And that brings stress into our lives. Would you believe that the Bible has the answer for worry? Oh, yes. 1 John chapter number 5 and verse 4. Listen to what the Bible said. The Bible said, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? I'm going to tell you, friend, ain't nothing happening at work that Jesus can't handle. Paul told that church at Philippi, he said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Somebody nod your little Baptist head up and down. I mean, a lot of you worried about things that are going on at the job, and you're allowing the devil to steal your joy, and you're allowing him to bind you with worry, when if you just give it to Jesus, you wouldn't have near as much stress as you've got right now. If you just surrender it to the Lord, he can help you with that. Amen. And so this worry, this thing of worry, the devil is crippling our church, our churches with worry. Now watch this. There's the worry over the past. There's the worry over the present. But then there's some people that are crippled by the worry over the future. What's tomorrow hold? What's the Republicans going to do? What's the Democrats going to do? What's the gas prices going to do? What's the economy going to do? What's this going to do? What's that going to do? What about tomorrow? What's going to happen out yonder? Well, the fact of the matter is there may not be no tomorrow. And I tell you what the Lord told the disciples. He said, don't think about that. Just give no thought. He said, the sufficient is the evil there. Hey, don't worry about that. What happens out yonder? God's already lived in it. He's already took care of it. He already knows what he's doing. Now, we'll all sit here on a Sunday morning and shake our head and say, you're right, preacher, and that's right. And then we'll go right out tomorrow, and we'll keep our eye on the stock market. We'll watch the latest political news. We'll try to figure out what the next thing is. We'll say things like this to make it sound spiritual. I'm just so concerned about my youngins. That sounds spiritual, don't it? I'm just concerned about our future generation. I'm concerned. Well, that all sounds good. But I'm going to tell you right now, a lot of that is worry and it's needless. Would it surprise you to know that the majority of what I've worried about in my lifetime never did happen? Now, y'all know me, and I'm trying to do better, Brother Neil, but I have, over the years, been a worry wart. I get it from my mama. Say amen, mama. Get it from my mama. Worry about this. Worry about that. I tell you, there's been times in my life, maybe some of you can relate, I'd think, I don't think I'm worried about anything. And then I'd worry about why I ain't worried. Lord have mercy. I ought to be worried about something to worry about. Right? Hey, in my lifetime, you name it, whatever you're going through, whatever disease it is you've got, I've had it. At least in my mind. I've had every form of cancer and everything in the world. Worried about this, worried about that, heart disease, all these different things. Worry about it, worry about it, worry about it. I've got this wrong with me, that wrong with me. Worry about it, worry about it, worry about it. As you know, the majority of the things I worried about never have come to pass. Amen. I remember when COVID started, and I'm just preaching now.